Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father. He is the one who promised a Savior. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Son. He is the one who kept the promise. And grace, mercy, and peace comes through God the Holy Spirit. He is the one who tells you all about the promise. It is in the name of that triune God that you and I gather this morning, rejoicing in this message of the forgiveness of sins. As we focus our attention on the coming of the Holy Spirit, you are aware that there is that game where I would give you a word and you got to come up with the first thing that you think of. So let's try it. Don't necessarily have to say it, but just think in your mind. The first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word Pentecost. If you are an Old Testament Jew, perhaps the first thing that comes to mind is it's now 50 days after the Passover. If you are an Old Testament Jew, you are thinking that this is one of the big three, Passover, Tabernacles, and Pentecost. That was one of the three major festivals when you were going to be in Jerusalem, unless it was absolutely impossible. For an Old Testament Jew, you're also thinking about the harvest, rejoicing in the fact that 50 days earlier the harvest was just coming in, and now you are back worshiping and praising the God who has supplied the rest of what you need for body and for life. Except you're not an Old Testament Jew, so you probably didn't think about any of those things. You are a New Testament believer, so perhaps what first came to mind was Peter. Perhaps you're thinking about what looked like the tongues of fire on top of each one of their heads. Perhaps the first thing that came to mind was all those different languages they had never learned but were able to speak, culminating in 3,000 people being brought to faith in that one day. All of those things come to mind. All of those are details that you and I have learned ever since the days of Sunday school. All of those are things that you and I can take and grab onto. But every one of those things takes us to the one word that Pentecost really reminds us about. Because Pentecost is all about Jesus. Yes, we call it the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the words that we are going to be taking a look at from the Gospel of John this morning are describing His coming. But as Jesus gives us the promise that He's going to send that Spirit, you and I are reminded that Pentecost is all about Jesus. The Spirit knows all about Him. And we know all about Him. So as you and I think about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and as we focus our attention in on what this means about Jesus, before we learn that the Spirit knows all about Him, Jesus is busy telling us about the Spirit. And He describes Him for us. He says in John 15, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father," we're not even done with the sentence yet. But look at how much He has packed into those few short words. Tell us who this Spirit is. The Spirit is the Counselor. Perhaps you remember hearing the word Paraclete. Paraclete is just taking the Greek word and putting it into the English. It's been translated Counselor. It's been translated Comforter. The idea behind the word is someone calls you to their side. And so you've got this picture of this Counselor, this Comforter, and He's busy calling you. Come, come to my side. It's almost as if the Spirit puts His arm around you, and as you're walking along, He is the one who's busy calling and consoling and offering that amazing gift of comfort. So as He talks with you, and as He shares Jesus with you, He is that perfect Counselor. Jesus gives Him another name. As He is calling you along His side, and as He's busy comforting, He is described as the Spirit of Truth. You may have visited with counselors and comforters in the past. There are those who are there, busily trying to offer their counsel and offer their comfort. And they're busy telling you the things that they think will be helpful to you. And that's kind of the key. It's what they think is helpful. And a lot of times it is. You and I rejoice in all of those human counselors and comforters that God has given to us. We rejoice that there are those that call us to their side and encourage us and build us up. But sometimes the counsel isn't always the best. And sometimes the comfort is just a tad shallow. Because they're just people like us. This is the Spirit of truth. This is not just His ideas. This is not just what He thinks. But the Spirit is the perfect counselor. And He is the perfect comforter. Because He knows exactly what you need to hear. You need to hear about Jesus. And so that counselor is coming. The Spirit of truth. And He's the one that Jesus sends. Jesus hasn't sent Him yet. It's Monday, Thursday evening when He is saying these words. He's been reminding His disciples, and He'll say it again in the next chapter, in John chapter 16, that I got to leave first. Jesus needs to go away in order for the Counselor to come. Why? Well, if the Spirit knows all about Jesus, the Spirit doesn't want to come and say, let me tell you about the one who's almost done. Let me tell you about the one who's just this close to being done with your salvation. No, Jesus gets it all finished. Completes everything that He was sent to do. And when He returns to that majestic place that is His by right as the Son of God, then He sends the Spirit. Sent by the Son, going out from the Father. Without getting into next Sunday's topic, the Holy Trinity, you and I rejoice in what we are about to confess as we talk about the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Our triune God, all working together, perfectly united. Because Pentecost is all about Jesus. And now that you know who this Holy Spirit is, He's the one who knows all about Jesus. The one that who is the Counselor, the one who is the Spirit of truth, the one who is going out from the Father, He will testify about me. That one. That's the one who is going to come and He's going to witness. He is going to testify. If you find yourself on a witness stand, the reason you are there is because you have some direct knowledge pertaining to that case. You saw something, you heard something, you're aware of something. Direct knowledge that, at least from your perspective, you alone have. And so you're put onto that witness stand, and now you are asked to testify about that direct knowledge that you have. This is the one who has direct knowledge about Jesus. He's the third person of the Trinity. Perfectly united with God the Father and God the Son. Obviously, He has direct knowledge of who Jesus is. That's the one who comes. And that's the one who testifies. And He's the one who wants you to be thinking about the cross and the empty tomb. He wants you to be thinking about Jesus' life and Jesus' death. Because as the Holy Spirit comes, it's all about Jesus. Which gives you and me amazing comfort. As you and I go through life, you understand how easy it is to be condemned. You know what a guilty conscience is all about. No matter how hard we try, no matter what our aims and our goals are, you are very much aware that there is that little voice that takes from that law of God and reminds you day after day and even minute after minute sometimes that you blew it. You are not living up to what God has to say. You think about how easy it is to become complacent and disinterested, either because you don't think you need a Savior or because you think about you've heard about Him so many times that you don't need to hear about Him anymore. And as soon as Satan and the world around us and our own sinful natures try to convince you that Jesus is not that important, that you do not need Him, and the moment we're convinced of that and we find ourselves slipping into that complacency, then Satan is right there and he immediately says, and you call yourself a Christian. After what you just did, you really think God's going to forgive you? After what you just said, you really think God wants you in His heaven? After the way you just acted, pick a commandment. Every one of them takes you back to the first one. You have not put God first. In fact, you have stood up to God and you have told Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, step aside, Lord. I've got this. I'm the one who's in control. And now all of a sudden, Lord, you are going to listen to my word. You really think heaven is yours. And Satan wants to fill you with despair. An overwhelming guilt. But remember, Pentecost is all about Jesus. And the Spirit knows all about Jesus. So listen to what Luther had to say when he was talking about these words. He says, "Behold, this leads to a confident and staunch heart that can scorn the devil with all his terror and torment, defy all his might and say, 'Sin, if you want to condemn me, you will have to first condemn Christ, my dear Savior, priest and intercessor with the Father. Death, if you want to devour me, you must begin on top with Christ, my head. Devil and world, if you want to torment and frighten me, you must first pull him down from his throne. In brief, I will fear nothing, even if lightning were to strike this moment and throw everything into confusion. For Christ is mine, with his suffering, death, and life. The Holy Spirit, with his comfort, and the Father himself, with all his grace. He sends the Holy Spirit to preach Christ into my heart and to fill it with his consolation. This is the main glory and prerogative of the Holy Spirit." So when our hearts condemn us, and when those consciences start acting up, remember Pentecost is all about Jesus. And as you and I rejoice in the coming of the Spirit is the one who tells us all about Jesus, and He comes and He preaches Christ into your heart. And He tells you that there is no more condemnation. He tells you that there is no more death. He tells you that there is no more guilt because Jesus is your substitute. Jesus is your Savior. It's all about Him. And the Spirit is the one who comes in word and in sacrament, and He is constantly, daily telling you, look at Jesus. Look at what He's done. It's all about Him. And as He carries out that work, as the Spirit reminds you that Pentecost is all about Jesus, and as He tells you about the things that He has direct knowledge of, as that takes place, then all of a sudden He is not the only one testifying. Look at what Jesus said to His disciples. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to testify about me, but you will too. We know all about Jesus. Jesus says that to disciples on Monday, Thursday evening. Disciples who are struggling, disciples who are confused. Disciples who have been hearing Jesus talk about Him leaving, going someplace where they can't go, at least not yet. Not only is He talking about leaving, but in connection with Him going away, He's also talking about the fact that just as the world hated Him, so His disciples should really not expect the world to treat them any differently. The world is going to hate them too. But even you, and you also, are going to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. As scared as they may be, as confused as they may be, as Jesus is giving the promise, once Pentecost comes, they become the witnesses. They become the ones who give that amazing direct knowledge because they've been with Jesus from the beginning. They saw what He did. They heard what He said. They saw His life. They witnessed His death and His resurrection. They've been with Him from the beginning. They have direct knowledge too. The Spirit is there helping them. They become the witnesses. Pentecost proves it. Busy hiding away, not sure what's coming next. Suddenly the Holy Spirit comes and they move from being timid disciples to bold apostles, and they stand up and they proclaim who Jesus is. They're still doing it. Yes, you don't hear their voices, but you do in the pages of Scripture. We call it the Gospel according to John. We call it Paul's letter to the Romans. But you know what it really is. It's God's Word. The Holy Spirit inspired each of those men, gave them the exact words He wanted them to write down. And now as you and I crack open those Bibles and as we turn those pages, they are still testifying. Even they who had been with Jesus throughout all that time, who witnessed His life and His death and His resurrection, now continue to tell you all about it as the Spirit continues to testify through their words, words that He had given, so that we know all about Jesus. He testifies in His supper. He comes and He tells us that that bread and that wine comes into union with His body and His blood. And when His body and His blood is given to you and to me, you and I come into union with Him. And He builds that faith and He strengthens that resolve and He refocuses our attention back on Jesus once again. And now it's our turn. We're moving into that time of year when it is tempting to coast. When it is tempting to say, I don't really need this so much right now. But Pentecost also serves as that lynch between the first part of the church year and the second part. We get to talk about Jesus. We get to proclaim who He is because we know all about Him. We've just gone through that first part of the church year that reminded us of the promise of a coming Savior. We've joined with the angels. Glory be to God in the highest. We've rejoiced that today in the town of David the Savior has been born. We have marveled as He revealed Himself as not just another little baby, but this is God's Son Himself. Look at what He says. Look at what He does. We've watched Him take that perfect life and act as if He was the most imperfect one in the world. For His perfection, He gives to you. Your imperfection, that He takes upon Himself. And we watch Him go to that cross. And we hear Him say, it's finished. Guilt is gone. Death is defeated. Sin is no longer in control. We marvel at His resurrection. We've watched Him ascend to the right hand where He guides and rules and directs all things for the good of you and me, His church. He sends His Holy Spirit. And as you and I are focused in on Jesus, and as we think about His life, now all of a sudden, my life becomes an opportunity to testify. My life becomes an opportunity to tell somebody else, look at Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And you know what to say. You know who Jesus is. And He gives you the privilege of pointing others to their Savior. So what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word Pentecost? Is you and I rejoice that the Spirit knows all about Him. And because of that, we know all about Him. The first thing that comes to mind, the first person that comes to mind, is Jesus. Amen.